that the others will then join us. Let me formally open the meeting. Let me
I've sent welcome you on the email. Yeah, it is Zoom. Yeah, sure.
Honorable, my mic, can you please mute your mic?
I'm assisting Honorable Landsman. Thank you.
Oh, okay.
Sorry, Chair. Honorable Mimang, if he can move to his right a little bit.
Thank you. Can you just probably guide me in terms of where we are? Have we dealt with
okay.
the apologies?
We'll get better in that time.
Let me formally open the meeting and welcome honorable members. Now, Celie, let's leave it for now because we've started with the meeting.
Committee Secretary, it looks like the chairperson is gone.
Okay, hi, Mr. Moimang. Yes, we can proceed with the meeting because we do correct. We've got, including yourself, we've got 6 members. So we can continue with the meeting. And also, Sergeant, so far with
my network, okay. Can you hear me?
Fine, ma'am. I'm just on a live call.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Oh, no, I'm indicating that throughout the day, he has been indicating on my laptop that my network bandwidth is low. I have just been kicked out a minute ago. So I made Honorable Moimang
Okay, Mr. Moimang, so like Chi indicated, he's been struggling with his bandwidth during the course of today. So I think he did indicate that he wanted you to proceed if he's screen or his audio freezes. So can we proceed?
Thank you.
The network is very bad, Chair.
Okay.
I want to propose that we then take this opportunity just to extend a word of welcome to all the participants in this meeting. I've noted the agenda will be led by Honorable Minister. I've also noted the presence of the Deputy Minister and also a representative from all our municipalities.
Thanks,
sir. Can you just make a humble appeal that all the participants
are
gadgets so that there is
no
disruption?
I did tell you that I'm coming back.
Honorable members?
I'm coming back.
Just a humble appeal that
I didn't say I'm going to the doctor.
Well, we are not
recognized.
I think what will be critical is just to as the chair indicated, that indeed he has been experiencing a lot of challenges around the network, but be that as it may, we have agreed that we'll be able to intervene where it is necessary. The purpose of the meeting is basically to invite the department leadership to indicate to us in terms of what are the interventions that we'll be making to ensure that indeed we reignite the tourism sector in terms of the turnaround, given the I'm just saying that it is important that we appreciate the participants in this meeting. First of all, we have the minister, we have the deputy minister. We also have representatives from the municipalities, because what is critical from ourselves as the select committee is to ensure that there is convergence of views in terms of what is it that has to be done to turn around the tourism sector as part and parcel of ensuring that indeed we are able to make our contribution felt with regard to mitigating the devastating impact that COVID-19 has had in terms of our economy. But I think without any waste of time, allow me to give over to the Minister Kubai to lead the presentation. But I think it will be important just to check from the committee secretaries whether are there any apologies to be presented. Maria?
At present, not for this session, Chair. We haven't received any apologies from members, and we haven't received any further apologies for this session.
Thank you, Maria.
Honourable Chair,
on the platform?
Honourable Chair? Honourable
Hello,
Ms. Bishop? Yes, please. If I may just raise my objection to the late receival of our documents for the presentation today. There was absolutely no way that one could prepare properly, and it appears as if this is something that was just sent on the thought of somebody, and I'm not blaming the secretariat because they must have received it very late. We received stuff at 1:45 last night or this morning early. We received in Mpumalanga. That we could prepare properly, and I cannot understand why we are rushing to push this through now, because tourism is one of the hot debates that are taking place, because it is an entity that is able to generate funds for this country. So please, Chair, there is just, we must look at these type of things so that it affords us the opportunity to be able to prepare very well. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Bishop. You are raising a valid point. It is important that in terms of our work, there has to be thorough preparation. And when we receive the for honorable members to participate, I want to believe that members will definitely share the concerns that you have raised. We in future that this will not happen. I think just to outline, we are going to have the opening remarks by the Minister of Tourism. Then the consolidated briefing by the department, then it will be a briefing by the Chief Executive Office of Tourism Business Council of South Africa, then there will be discussion. And then thereafter, we are going to receive presentation from KZN department led by the MEC in terms of the laying the foundation for the briefing by the department. Then it will be followed by Mpumalanga. Then we are going to have move to the discussion. Then thereafter, we'll then invite municipalities to make their presentations. Then it will be followed by discussion. Then the recommendations and closing remarks. That is how our program is going to be structured. And I want to believe that members are able to see. It is beamed, so therefore that is how we are going to move. So without any waste of time, let me, having extended the word of welcome to the Honorable Minister, give over to her to give the opening remarks. Over to you, Minister.
Thank you very much, Honorable Muimang. Let me greet Chairperson Hai. Greetings, Honorable Members. Greetings to the Chairperson of SAT Board. I think I saw his name in the list. TBCSA delegation led by Mr. Gomani. The DG of Department of Tourism is here as well, together with other senior officials. Thank you very much. Let me start, Chair. We had requested apology. I'm in NEDLAG this afternoon as part of government delegation. I'm leading government delegation. We're presenting the final report to the president in terms of the economic recovery strategy. So I've requested to give a three. The DM is here, DM Mashalela, who is going to lead the delegation on behalf of the department. As soon as I leave, we respect the fact that this is the meeting that we were requested to come, and we had, I'd asked the PLO to communicate to the chair. The second issue I need to clarify, Chair, is that we received a letter from the committee requesting a particular presentation. After engaging with the chair, we were alerted that the presentation is not actually the intention as per the letter was sent. So we had to correct the presentation after my discussion with the chair to make sure that what the committee in terms of the Z list published is what we present. So we have prepared a presentation that was sent on the basis of the letter that we had received, and this was communicated. So to members, I think it's important for us to clarify that it's not that we sent the presentation late out of disrespect for the committee. Being a former chair, it's important for me to clarify this because I do know that in a committee, it's important to receive documents in time so that you can prepare. So it's important for me to do this clarification. Chairperson, we're meeting today. Our presentation would be covering several areas, but there's just few things I want to touch to, and then I will leave quite a lot to the GM to lead the delegation. For me, Chair, is that the importance of tourism sector in our economy can never underestimate it, and therefore the importance of us working around the clock to ensure, one, that we see tourism coming back into life actively, but also we are able to see the recovery of the sector. You'd note that, Chair, we've worked as the department to ensure that in terms of risk-adjusted strategy, tourism level, tourism activities come back to life. We're currently at level 2. We'll talk to that in terms of the work, but we're looking forward to quite a lot of work that we've been doing in ensuring that as we grow the sector, as we reopen the economy, we are able to see almost everything in the tourism sector coming to life. So we've been working around the clock as well to deal with the final leg of the tourism activities that have not been open, which is the international borders. And we're hoping and looking forward to the president being able to assist us in that area. The other issue I want to speak to, Chair, is that we understand as the tourism sector, we have issued support for SMMEs through the Tourism Relief Fund, which we have been able to provide support to 4,000 companies across the country. We've been able to publish the names of those companies on the website to show that we have covered all the provinces, including what the committee is focused on in terms of your provinces, your municipalities that are covered, the areas, and also making sure that we do not continue to give prominence to those that are previously only advantage and not disadvantage. But also I know we've had discussions with the committee here, and I hope honorable members have looked at the list to show that we've never, and it has never been our intention to say our support as government is for whites, for blacks only. So there are many companies that we've been able to provide. I know when I appeared last time on the select committee or during the joint committee, there was a misunderstanding of what we meant by BEE, triple BEE compliance. So I hope with the publishing of the list it did give clarity and assurance to members that we continue to support all the sector players as long as they are compliant with what we are doing. There's been an issue around tourism guides. We have been able to respond in providing them support. If they're going back, they've been receiving support from us. For 3 months, they will be receiving that monthly stipend that actually assists them to be back on their feet and they can be able to start working. The CARES as well are currently still being paid for those that have applied that have not received their money. Minister Nglesi has continued to assure us that those who have applied and qualified will continue to receive their money, especially within the months that were committed by government. You'd note, Chair, as well, just to remind honourable members, that the department, we issued a tourism recovery strategy, which we went into consultation from the 1st to the 15th of August, and that document we're currently consolidating and finalising to be able to take through our cabinet system. In that, the pillars of that is to promote domestic tourism. Promotion of domestic tourism is some of the things that are critical for us is to have a conversation broadly with even our sector around the issues of cost. One of the inhibitors, as I do campaigns going province by province to promote domestic tourism and to be able to assess the issues around compliance, we are able to say that it is important that the pillars of our tourism sector also becomes domestic tourism. If you look globally, many countries have been able to survive because the pillar of their tourism sector is domestic tourism. Yes, we do understand that international tourism is important because in that way, then you compare the rents and the euros and the dollars are not the same. So the rent value and the amount that is spent by international tourists is not the same. But to continue in the trajectory where we are, where majority of the sites are unaffordable by South Africans when they want to explore. I'll make an example. I'm traveling to the Eastern Cape and Western Cape this week. So wanted to stay in a particular area within the Western Cape. We looked at the prices. They're just unaffordable. And the issue for me, they've been closed when I called to make an inquiry to say, but how do you, they say, no. The manager says, these are our prices. I said, but it is unaffordable for South Africans if the whole area, you'd have such exorbitant prices. If indeed your marketing and your target clients is that you are going to target only international tourists. If it happens that for 12 months, even if we open for the borders, they do not arrive, what's going to happen with the businesses? So it's a conversation that we really need to have around the costs. South Africans are continuously saying, Minister, we hear you. We want to travel, want to support. But I've called for the South Africans to support the tourism industry so that we can preserve the jobs and we can save businesses. But if they constantly, their message to me as the minister is saying, Minister, it is unaffordable. It's cheaper for me to fly to Thailand than to go and have a holiday in my own country. Then that's a conversation that we must have. So as we build towards the conversations around how do we strengthen tourism in the country, how do we ensure that our tourism sector is sustainable beyond where we are, those are some of the things that we've got to be able to have conversations about. The other area, Chair, is the support that we provided the department that we see. As the presentation comes, you'd note that there's quite a lot of support that we are providing. Support for SMMEs because you understand the importance of the value chain of tourism. Tourism does not only deal with direct jobs, but it deals with or direct activities. We are the corner. That's why I always say that if people don't understand, tourism is the backbone of our economy. Because when the flights were not going, the energy sector was battling because petroleum products were not moving. So you had the impact there. If we are to talk about food, if restaurants and hotels are not open, it impacts on the agricultural sector because we do have those. So you've got to be able to understand that without this coming fully into life, then it impacts. And it's a sector that is able to absorb everybody, either high-skilled and low-skilled people. And that's why it's important, Chair, and we appreciate this meeting, where we are able to talk about tourism with even municipalities, because one of the issues that we've been running programs around capacitation of municipalities in understanding the value of tourism. And you find most of the things, that's why some of the municipalities we've been able to engage, was to say, let's not just reduce tourism into a sentence, because when you look at LED documents in municipalities, you find that tourism is just a sentence in the whole document that talks about local economic development. Even in areas where you find that tourism is the actual hub, and it's actually the municipality is a tourism hub, but you find that the understanding and how we can take advantage of tourism within those municipalities becomes a bit of a challenge. So we're looking forward to this conversation, Chair. We appreciate the opportunity for us to engage. We do have engagement separately as a department through MINMEC with SALGA, but also through currently led by the DM in terms of MINMEC, and also through our officials in terms of capacity and local government engagement. But these platforms of engaging to say, how do we ensure that we can be able to see more value out of tourism in the areas, in the local municipalities, to the betterment of our own country, but also to its people, so that they can be able to benefit out of this, is important. So, Chair, I will allow the DM takes over from here. I will stay until the time my meeting stands, and then I will be requesting to leave for the meeting next meeting, which I'm accompanied by the DG to the NEDLAC as a technical person who's leading the technical team. I'm leading the ministerial team, which is leading the technical team. DM will be accompanied by the two DGs that I have joined us in on the line. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Minister Kubai, for providing opening remarks to the meeting in a manner that is able to give certainty and satisfaction to us that indeed you assist with the subject of turning the tourism sector around. And indeed, without any waste of time, we'll then hand over to the Deputy Minister. DM?
No, thank you very much, Chair. Well, the Minister has already opened the meeting and give the remarks that is needed by the Department. We'll then allow the DG to make a presentation. We'll then intervene wherever it is necessary during the discussion. Thanks.
Thank you, DM. DG?
Thank you. I'm advised that the Secretary will be driving the slides. I don't know if it is possible for...
There you are.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much, Mr. Chairperson. Well, the one that have... It would have been good if I could drive the slides, and then I was going to be able to move a lot more faster, but... Let's move on to the next slide.
Can we probably ask Maria to share with you? Maria? Is it possible to share the...
Yes, it is. I would need to just clarify, is it the DG himself who would like to...
Drive.
Is it the DG himself who would like to share the slides?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, I'll see what I can do.
That's, if not possible, it's fine. You can proceed.
Looks like Zoom is a bit complicated, unlike things where...
Let's proceed. Just go back to the first slide. The slide before the background. Not the cover, the first slide. Thank you.
Okay, DG, I've given you... Sorry, DG, just to interject, I have given you the administrative rights to move the slide yourself, so you can do so.
Okay. Is it visible?
Yes, DJ.
Thank you. Honorable Chairperson, thank you very much. We are, and thank you, Minister and GM, for the introduction, and good afternoon to the honorable members, as well as the colleagues, and I'm meant to also believe that MECs are also connected, as well as the leadership of local government. We are going to do very quickly the background with regards to what has actually happened around COVID. We will demonstrate briefly some of the risks to livelihoods, and in this instance we'll be speaking directly to the issue of jobs. We do have other data that is not necessarily here that would have also spoken to issues of GDP and so on, and also how to protect the supply base, so to say. We will also then highlight the interventions that were done, the risk-adjusted strategy that we have implemented, and some of the measures that the Minister has already spoken to. And we will then highlight the problems associated with SMME support, which the purpose of that particular presentation, that aspect of the presentation, is to show what are some of the things that would have to come in as soon as the environment is conducive for us to do so. Some of them have already started streaming in, and we would also then have to scale that up. Briefly, we'll talk about the actions proposed with regards to the recovery plan, which Minister has spoken to, that it was actually published for comments. And there will be a number of stakeholder engagements that we will also just share to demonstrate that in this whole journey, as Minister was leading us in making sure that we get to where we are as of now, level two, it's a journey that we have actually walked together with the industry and all other role players in the sector. The background really is the fact that we had about the first cases, 31st December, and this was in China. At that time, everybody was thinking, well, this is something that is definitely not coming here. I do recall some questions that were asked in Parliament, I think January or so, and at that time, we were just sharing some of these issues to say this is what is happening, but no one at that time was really seeing that this is something that we could be in a very short space of time. We then had our first case 5th of March, and then subsequently we had our first lockdown 23 March, all that until now when we are actually at level 2, which started on the 18th of August. We have put this slide on the value chain when we wanted to demonstrate the impact on livelihoods. And the idea here is to show all parts of the value chain where there has actually
been impact. There's a challenge with your through the screen. Industrializing only myself that cannot see the screen.
Yes, Chief, we've given, in order for the DG to present on his behalf, then we needed to give him rights, which we have done. So we're not actually...
Is it visible now, Chair?
No, it's not.
It's not?
Okay, there we go.
Is it visible now? Okay, thank you very much. It looks like I had not pressed the broadcast button. Thank you. This then demonstrates all the aspects that are impacted, whether it is issues of aviation, whether it is issues of car rental, whether it's coaches, whether it's wellness spas, whether it's conference facilities, whether it's online travel agents and so on. All of these are affected for as long as there is no movement. And the reality then is that behind all these things that we're talking about are human beings that are actually supposed to wake up to work and go to those places and be able to earn a living. Now, in all these which are called tourism-related industries, there will be a component of the jobs in that particular activity that is associated with tourism. And the in the middle column there is where we talk about the tourism industry ratio. Those are percentages in relation to each of those activities, how much of that activity actually directly contributes to tourism jobs. So when you look at the bottom, the direct tourism employment, it is based on that percentage contribution to each of these categories. So in accommodation, you will be talking about 128,000 people that are directly employed. If you are talking about cultural services, it would be 35,000 people that are actually employed. And the total thereof would then be about 739,000 people. These are figures as of 2018. They are from the tourism satellite account. They are coming from Statistics South Africa. The one aspect that is important to mention is that this data would always lag behind. So you would ask, why don't we have 2019? 2019 would not be here yet. So what would come out in 2020 is the figures for 2019. And even the impact that is related to COVID would only be able to see it in the figures that would come in 2021. And that's just in the manner in which the data gets to be collected. Moving forward, there were surveys that were conducted. For the first survey, some honorable members may have already seen that part, but the second survey, we had not yet presented it. Now, the first survey was conducted in April, and it covered the period before, which would then have also included March and so on. And then the second one was conducted July, so it would have had a reference period from June back, working back to 3 months before that. The next one that we're going to do will be in October, and it will then take the period September back to July. And that will be an interesting period for us. We would really want to see that, because it is a period that would have coincided with the rapid changing in levels in the risk-adjusted strategy. And I think that is what is then going to really tell us what the issues that are coming through are. I will recap a little bit of the April survey and then go to the June survey. April, at that time, 99% of the businesses that responded. And I need to declare here that we have done this together with TBCSA as well, with the International Finance Corporation. 99% of the respondents at that time were already affected by COVID. 64% felt positive, were neutral or positively believed their businesses will survive and will recover. 83% of the firms reported revenues in March 2020 were down by more than 50%. compared to March 2019. And 34% of the firms say revenue was less than 100%, which basically meant that they were not in operation. 59% of the firms were unable to survive, to service rather their debt. 54% of the firms were unable to cover their fixed costs in 2020 March. Firms reported managing their workforce in different ways. So there were others who decided to reduce the wages by 50%, and 36% of the firms had reduced wages for all their staff, and 11% of the firms made more than 50% of their workforce redundant. 54% of the firms did not make any of the redundancies, meaning that they were able to still continue. The most commonly applied mitigation by all these businesses were temporary closure, and that amounted to 69% of the businesses. And others supporting deferment, and mainly looking at not cancelling, but just to defer the bookings, and that affected about 60% of the businesses. And others just downscaled their activities, which was about 58%. All businesses prioritized the need for financial support, particularly as it relates to cash flow, and also in terms of money for recovery as well as tax relief. With micro businesses, they indicated that cash flow was really their first priorities. The small firms prioritized financial support to make sure that when the time is right, they will probably be able to then start again with their activities. And largely those are businesses that are owner-operator type. And then medium to large firms, they were largely prioritizing accessing tax relief. And the support facilities that were kind of, let's call it popular, most people were very aware of them. It was the UIF TERS, and UIF TERS and UIF Broadly, for the sector, it was able to support over 600,000 people. And these workers include those that have applied directly, but there were others that actually applied through a mechanism that was facilitated by the minister, together with the Minister of Labour, of Employment and Labour, which ensured that businesses, firstly, UIF entered into an MOU with TBCSA so that businesses could apply through TBCSA, and TBCSA would then be able to file the lot with the UIF. And through that particular process, one of the things that was a conditionality was that the money will always have to be paid directly to the worker and not back to the business itself, as that could actually create other challenges in terms of mixing what would then look like potential cash flow together with the money that is actually directly supposed to go to the workers, as it was meant for them. For June, again, it was 99% reporting being affected by COVID. Businesses were marginally more optimistic, but not by a big margin. It was about 3% between what was reported in April, which was 64%, and what was then reported in June, which was 67%. 61% of the enterprises were not operating in June. And this would also relate to the fact that the period between April, May, and early June, those were the times when most of the activities were not necessarily made as yet. With 54% planning to reopen on in September. And this would be in relation to what was the level of confidence from these operators in terms of when we are likely to come back to business and so on. It will be interesting to see what the October data says in relation to these particular groupings. The most significant concern for businesses considering reopening was the lack of sufficient demand to be able to break even. So there were those that believed that just keeping the doors open for the sake of keeping the doors open will not necessarily make sense. In some instances, there were reports of possibly occupancies, because this would have been at a time when essential services were permitted and so on. And some were probably doing quarantines and so on. But at that particular period, it would have been difficult to even get past a 5% occupancy. So in that kind of environment, that kind of sentiment would actually make sense. 95% of enterprises in relation to 83, as opposed to 83 in March, reported that revenue in May 2020 were down by more than 50% year on year. And 75% of enterprises were saying that revenue was down 100%. Now that's significant by any stretch of imagination. This was far more than the reported 34% during the earlier survey. 64% of the enterprises were unable to service their debts. And 67% of the enterprises were unable to cover their fixed costs. The most common mitigating measure regarding the workforce management remained the wage reduction to include, and that was about 55% of the enterprises that reported that they were applying that particular strategy. The number of enterprises employing the measures related to temporary redundancy, if one could put it like that, was reported by about 43% of businesses. Medium-sized enterprises were the most affected in terms of wage reduction and also in terms of short-term redundancy with regards to staff, followed by the large businesses. And large businesses were not likely to have made more than half of their staff redundant at that particular time. I must say that of all these that we are reporting, the most critical thing that saved most of the jobs was basically the existence of temp. If that was not there, the likelihood is that we would have actually seen most of the people losing their jobs much more earlier than it happened later. And those that managed to hold on to their jobs also probably would not have been able to. The most common applied measure by the businesses were supporting the deferment of the bookings instead of the cancellation. We would love to see here whether subsequently we have been able to see those bookings reinstated and people actually having taken advantage of them when we do the October 1. In similar pattern to the results from April survey, all businesses prioritized the need for financial support. So cash flow was very important. Recovery money was important, as well as the tax relief aspect. There was also an emergence of new services that ordinarily would not have been sought, but this related a lot more to businesses being in a position to then begin to recover. And this includes expert advice on business recovery, advice on health and safety measures, and support for commercial debt repayments. In some of these cases, there were kind of like new services, new markets, but for people who are providing these kinds of services, such as health and safety measures, per se. The issue of UIF as well as the tourism relief were still top of mind for most of the businesses. I will then move to the issue of the budget reprioritization. Honorable Chairperson, you and honorable members, you would remember that when COVID when we started having the first case in South Africa at the 5th of March, there were a number, even before that, there were engagements that minister had gone into and so on. And there were scenarios that were developed to say what if this was to happen to South Africa, what would then have to happen and so on. One of the things that was looked into was the fact that we needed to have something that would cushion the most vulnerable of the small businesses. And there was reprioritization of 200 million. That is what then went into the relief fund. And we would like to commend National Treasury in this regard, in that they were able to come in quite quickly, swiftly, and be able to actually provide the necessary authorizations and so on for us to be able to move forward. Further reprioritization was done, and this was 30 million rands, and this 30 million rands was support to freelance tourist guides, and that is already underway in terms of implementation. We'll be providing reporting that regard. There was a further reprioritization across government, and that reprioritization was in the interest of the dealing with the health epidemic at that time. Through that particular process of the special budget that was subsequently tabled, we lost R1 billion out of that. That R1 billion is about 800,000 from South African Tourism. The understanding at that time was that there was very limited space for us to be able to do meaningful marketing activity, be it domestically or internationally. And it only made sense that we should be part of the support of fighting this disease and make sure that money goes into that particular priority, but with the understanding that when time is right, we should also be looked at as people that really showed this level of responsibility. From the department side, there was also a significant amount of money about 150 or so that was also taken, and this was in with the understanding that some of our incentive programs were not going to be feasible in the environment that we were in. Things like market access support, grading support, and so those things were not going to be feasible within that kind of environment. And EPWP projects, particularly the training, some of the trainings which required classroom time, as well as some of the work that related to construction and so on, all of this could not actually take place in an environment where we were still trying to figure out how we manage the disease, the virus, and so on from super spreading. We are having discussions with National Treasury, but of course, that is subject to the framework and processes that are supposed to be followed with regards to medium-term budgeting. But we do hope that they would look at this with the understanding that we did come in at a particular time when it was crucial. But now, tourism, as we slowly return to business activities, the reality is that we present the greatest opportunity for the country to basically provide a stepping stone to this level of growth that we are looking for. So it's important that we do the necessary investment for us to be able to get the necessary return. What are some of the interventions that were done? The first one which we spoke to is the risk adjusted strategy. All the way from level 5, where we were only talking about quarantine sites, and right until now at level 2, where places of attraction are open, where people can host their weddings up to the number of 50 people, where casinos are open, and conference facilities are also open. And we believe that this is a step in the right direction, and it definitely would come in handy by the time there is readiness for us to actually go into full scale. These that it has prepared us to be able to handle something even bigger when time comes. And I think we need to get used to that, because the new normal will demand of us to actually do things in that particular way. the different interventions with regards to the fund itself. I think we have already given this to the honourable members, but it is important to highlight that we targeted businesses that have got a turnover of less than or equal to 5 million rands. We further looked at whether those businesses were compliant with the broad-based black economic empowerment as a law that governs the issues of grants and so on. We give those. And we had identified the various categories that were provided for, but most importantly, there was a segregation of duties across all the aspects that we're doing, whether it was people that were doing verification or evaluation, or people that were doing approvals, or people that were actually doing the payment. In fact, with the payment, we make sure that it doesn't take place even at the department. It must then take place at SAT. So we used SAT as
Did you mute?
No, he has not been muted, Chi. I think there might be a problem with his sound.
Okay. I think the team must guide us that is accompanying the DG. There he is.
Yeah, his mic is not on mute, Chi. Don't understand okay. What the problem is.
Can we then request one of the DDGs to step in? While we are still sorting out the issue of the connectivity on the part of the DG, let's introduce yourself. DM? Deputy Minister?
Yes, Chair, I also got lost and also got disconnected and then connected back.
Yeah, no, it's the connectivity challenge. I was saying that probably there might be one of the DDGs that can step in while we are still trying to sort out the connectivity on the part of the DG.
But this does indicate that it's in. Maybe I'm not sure whether it's the volume that is not.
Yes, there is a technical hitch that we suspect could be the reason behind.
Did it take Duma? Are you Malan? Are you here?
DM, I'm in. It's Anemi.
Yes, Anemi, can you proceed until the DG comes back?
I can do so, DM. I'm just not sure until from which slide we should continue, Honourable Chair. Can we continue from slide 17, which is currently on the...
He was on tourism relief fund, I should think.
Yeah, so then my challenge is just, Honourable Chair, that I won't be able to navigate the slides from my side.
Yeah. So the chair can assist in terms of that. The officials in the portfolio committee, in the select committee.
Yes, yes, Chair. Can we, Madia?
We're just resolving that, Chair. I've just given permission to our committee assistant now just to project the slide.
Okay.
Chair Pietra here. DG is coming back. He's trying.
Oh, the DG is coming back.
Yeah, he's trying to reconnect.
Yeah, but now the challenge is we don't know to other how long should we wait. That's why we had to then improvise.
Okay, Chair, we're ready to go. We're ready to go from slide 17. Our committee assistant's ready. Enrico, can you just scroll to slide 17, please?
Dave, that's it.
Yes. Over to you.
Thanks. Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and also for the Secretariat. I will then present until DG has joined us again. So on slide 17, that speaks to the businesses that were supported by the Tourism Relief Fund. And we also indicated per province, as well as we gave details around the small towns, townships, and villages within that province. Let me go into the details. So the slide shows that for the Eastern Cape, a total of 457 businesses received the assistance from the fund, and of those 457, 242 were black owned, and then the details of the towns and townships and small towns and villages are given in the next column. For the Free State, there were a total of 134 businesses supported, of which 65 were black owned. For Gauteng, we supported just over 1,070, of which 643 were black owned. For the KZN, 607, of which 336 were black owned. For Limpopo, a total of 294 businesses, of which 181 were black owned. Mpumalanga, 238, of which 121 were black-owned. The Northern Cape, we assisted a total of 124, of which 59 were black-owned. Northwest Province, 162 businesses in total, of which 99 were black-owned. And then the Western Cape, we supported 967 businesses, of which 325 were black-owned. So that is just the detail of the businesses that were supported through the relief fund. And as Minister indicated in her opening remarks, the businesses were published on our website, the detail of the businesses, their names. We can go to the next slide, please. So DG, in his when he presented the kind of relief that we as a department has given, included the Tourism Guide Relief Fund. And that actually stemmed from a meeting that Minister had with Tourist Guides, especially looking at the freelancers with no job security that dominate the industry. They had no other source of income during lockdown. And in response to this, the department then assisted or devised a relief fund with a 30 million allocation. And the qualifying criteria is it must be a freelancer tourist guide, meaning that guide must have another source of income, and then the guide must be registered with the tourist guide registrar. So in terms of implementation, each tourist guide will receive an amount of 1,500 rand for 3 months. Thus far, we had 4,398 tourist guides that are on the system for payment, and 19 million or almost 20 million has been paid out. Next slide, please. This slide also then gives detail per province of the Tourist Guide Relief Fund, the number of guides the number of guides that were processed for payment,
Can we just make a humble request that the person that is That is now, can he mute his gadget because he's disrupting our meeting? Thank you. My humble apology. Can proceed.
Thanks. Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. So just to go through the detail in terms of the Tourist Guide Relief Fund, for the Eastern Cape, we have processed payment for 179 guides. In the Free State, we processed payment for 23. In Gauteng, we processed payment for 956. For KwaZulu-Natal, 409 guides. For Limpopo, 145. Mpumalanga, 434. Northern Cape, 105. Northwest, 114. And then for the Western Cape, 2,033, that gives us the total of 4,398. That is in total the ones that we processed. The ones that we, the number that we received or that was submitted by provinces was 9,450. And then it's the percentage that received funding those thus far is 48%. We can go to the next slide, please. This section then focused on the support that the department have for small and medium enterprises. We can go to the next slide, please. So we are saying that based on a number of documents, the one being the 2015 needs survey that was done by the department, the 2016 consultative logistical framework, SME analysis document, and the 2016 Bureau for Economic Research report, the following needs were identified for SMEs. Number one, poor access to finance and credit. The second one is the lack of access to markets. Thirdly, access to information. Fourthly, regulatory compliance. And then the fifth one is unviable business operations. And the last one, inefficient government bureaucracy. So those were the needs that came from the different reports, as I mentioned. Next slide, please. So the objectives of the Enterprise Development Program that is rolled out in the Department of Tourism is one, to create an enabling environment for tourism enterprises to grow and contribute to job creation and destination competitiveness. The second one, to support SMEs to develop and to be sustainable. Third one is to reduce SME failure. Fourth one is to increase access to new markets. And fifth one is for local economic growth and development. And that's also linked to the multiplier effect that tourism has in the value chain. And the last one is to facilitate the facilitation of business skills through training and mentorship. Next slide, please. So this is just a diagram that gives a overview of the type of enterprise development interventions that is rolled out, being incubation, coaching, market access, supplier development, mentorship and training and development. Next slide, please. So the next intervention an intervention that I've just mentioned is the incubation program, and these slides just give a bit of more detail on what the incubation program is. So what we are saying is that it's the provision of needs-based enterprise development that is supported over a two-year two years, and And the program seeks to reduce business failure in selected tourism hubs by maximizing trade networks, business linkages through training and development. So thus far, just to highlight the purpose of the project or the program is to create a conduit through which economic inclusion by building the competitiveness of tourism businesses for increased sustainable job and economic growth and development. The programs that we have to date is we have three incubation hubs that were launched, one in the Mpumalanga province, in the Bushbuck Ridge municipality, one in the Baal-Palaborwa local municipality in Limpopo province, and then one in the David Kruper local municipality in the Northern Cape province. Each of these incubators has 50 beneficiaries, which then gives us a total of 150 SMMEs that are supported through the three incubators. The beneficiaries or the SMMEs are receiving mentorship, coaching, entrepreneurial assistance, trade networking, and business skills training. And it's a collaborative approach between a number of key stakeholders, including DFIs, associations, and so forth. In order to qualify for entering into the incubator, the criteria is as follows. The SMME startups or in must be a startup or in operation for at least 1 year. It must be a registered SMME within the tourism value chain. It must be based in the selected rural tourism node. It must be owner-run, and the owner must be a South African citizen. Next slide, please. So in addition to those, that three incubators that I've just mentioned, we also have three additional programs. The one is the Tech Incubation Program, the second one, the Tour Operator Incubation Program, and the last one, the Food Services Incubation Program. The Tech Incubation Program is a program that the department will partner with the Technology Innovation Agency, the TIIA, which is an agency of the Department of Higher Education, Science, and Science and Technology, to support emerging tech-based innovation businesses in tourism involving mainly youth. So the focus in this program is mainly on youth. In the second one, the Tour Operator Incubation Program, the aim is to create a platform to support emerging tour operators through identifying ways to encourage budget domestic travel in South Africa so that to ensure accessibility and affordability. The program will create economic inclusion for viable tourism businesses to have sustainable jobs and contribute to economic development. And then the last one, focusing on food services, is mainly to empower youth and women trained in the food sector. That includes the chefs, the baristas, the sommeliers, and other food preparation courses to venture into entrepreneurship opportunities in the food service sector. And that would also be in partnership, rolled out in partnership with the SBD. Next slide, please.
Can I just sensitize yourself, Anima, that at some point you must begin to wrap up because there's a line of presenters that must also make a presentation. And I'm not sure how far you are, but I just wanted to bring it to attention that you need to begin to start rounding up. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chair. I will go a bit faster. Thank you very much. So this slide just shows the recovery plan for the incubators, and it speaks to the surveys that DG alluded to. The fact that we developed a recovery plan, as Minister also indicated, and that the implementation of the recovery plan is underway. Let me go to the next slide, please. This one highlights other enterprise development interventions that the department instituted or rolled out. I'm not going to go into the detail, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, noting the time, just to mention that the one speaks to financial literacy and the training program around that. The second one speaks to the department and South African National Parks Job Summit Maintenance Program. Next slide, please. And this slide speaks to the incubation programs that will be established in the current financial year. The first one, it speaks to the Tourism Operator Business Incubation Program, the one that I just spoke about, and that we target 30 tour operators in the Western Cape, Free State, Eastern Cape and KZN, and that the duration will be 3 years. Also, the Food Services Program, the target is 100 youth, and we are targeting all 9 provinces, and the duration also 3 years. Next slide, please. Just to indicate, Honourable Chair, that the department has a Women in Tourism program, which commenced in 2013. And the aim of the program is to create a conversation platform for advancing transformation and integration of women from different socioeconomic backgrounds within the sector. The main focus of this program includes training on personal development, supporting women to develop a competitive advantage in their businesses, and the provision of capacity building initiatives as prioritized by each chapter. Each province has a chapter and that guides the Women in Tourism program in that province. Next slide, please. We are rolling out a 3-year or planning to roll out a 3-year pilot project with the United Nations World Tourism Organization. As part of the Women in Tourism project, and the pilot project is situated in the Limpopo, in the Wembe and Mopane areas, and we have highlighted which provinces it includes, but the focus will be on women within that area, where there is a number of community tourism and arts and craft projects that are in need of support to ensure their sustainability and scaling up to make them commercially viable. The slide also speaks to the impact of COVID on the program. Next slide, please. This just gives more, the slide gives a bit more information on the work that we will be doing within the UNWTO. And the specific output that is expected of the pilot project. Next slide, please. So we, together with South African Tourism, have a market access initiative for SMMEs. As we have recognized the importance of market access in support of our small and medium enterprises, as it also drives product diversification and geographic spread. And this is a collaborative effort with the department, South African Tourism, and provinces to ensure that there's awareness as well as product packaging in the provinces. And the table there just gives some examples of where we provide market access or opportunities to SMMEs through Meetings Africa and the Africa Travel Indaba, through the sustainability villages at Meetings Africa and the Africa Travel Indaba, and through international platforms. Next slide, please. We also include the SMMEs in our speed marketing as well as in our hosting programs. Next slide, please. We can go to the next slide. So there's a number, previous one. So there's a number of market access programs, or there is some programs that has been suspended temporarily because of the COVID, and the one is the market access support program, mainly due to the restriction of international travel. That one is temporarily suspended, and we anticipate that it will be reintroduced in the next financial year. Next slide, please. We also have the tourism grading support program, where we reduce the cost burden of grading on small tourism enterprises. But because of the current situation with grading and the conditions of the lockdown, the minister announced a temporary exemption of tourism grading fees from the 1st of April for 12 months. So this program will, following the reinstatement of the grading assessment, successful applicants for this program will then follow after the 12 months exemption. Next slide, please. We also have a Green Tourism Incentive Program in partnership with the IDC, and this is to assist private sector tourism enterprises to retrofit their facilities with efficient solutions for energy and water usage. So this slide just gives more information on that program. Next slide, please. We also have the Tourism Transformation Fund in partnership with the NEF to stimulate accelerated sector transformation and inclusive growth through a combination of debt finance from the NEF and grant funding from the Department of Tourism. And this is for new and expansionary tourism development projects with majority Black shareholding. So that slide also then provides a bit more information on this fund. Next slide, please. The Tourism Equity Fund, the pilot, that it will be done in partnership with the IDC, is something that was approved, but the launch of the pilot program had to be postponed due to the COVID pandemic. So I think we can move to the next slide. This slide just gives the breakdown per province of the beneficiaries of the Tourism Incentive Program by province. I've given the detail of the different programs. This slide just gives the number of beneficiaries per program per province. Next slide, please. This one speaks briefly, the section on the Tourism Recovery Plan. Next slide, please. The work that the team did with the Tourism Recovery Plan was based on the following foundation statements: that South Africa is following the risk adjustment strategy based on levels of lockdown and not dates. and that the priority and objective remain to resume operations as early as it is safe to do so for South Africa and its visitors. And the recovery plan therefore proposed a number of measures to enable reopening and positioning the country to outcompete in the global recovery market. Next slide, please. So this just highlights, but Minister also speaks to it, the three strategic themes of the recovery plan. Firstly, to reignite demand. Secondly, to protect and rejuvenate our supply. And then thirdly, the strengthening of the enabling capabilities. Next slide, please. This slide speaks to the 10 measures that the plan proposes to support the South Africa's tourism recovery. And the measures is a combination of supply and demand side interventions. And it also will be implemented through the three phases that the previous slide speaks to. Just to highlight the 10 without going into detail, the first one is industry government recovery partnership. The second one is to protect tourism supply. Third one is the biosecurity protocols. Fourth, the air access and connectivity. Fifth, the facilitate ease of travel. The sixth measure is around to catalyze domestic demand. Seven is targeted global marketing programs. Eight is investment and market entry facilitation. Nine, regional value proposition. And tenth, that we need to put in place structural mechanisms for the implementation of the plan. Next slide, please. This section, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, just gives an overview of consultation and stakeholder engagements that were done. We can move to the next slide. It is a long list, Honourable Chair, if you allow me. I'm not going to go into the detail, just to say that already in the beginning of March this year, our minister convened a meeting with tourism stakeholders to discuss the impact of the COVID. It's long before...
Can you go back to those 10 areas? I think they are very critical and important for our stakeholders.
Right?
Yes, I think elaboration is needed. We are mindful of the time, but I think these areas that forms the crux of the tourism release strategy, I think it's quite important, yes.
All right. I will give a bit more detail on each one. Thanks, Chair. So when we say that for the first measure, the industry government recovery partnership, we are saying that we need to conclude a recovery partnership to collaborate on all aspects of the tourism recovery. Minister, in one of her press briefings, spoke about structural engagement, which we have instituted now. In the past, Honourable Chair, I can say that there was a very good working relationship between the department and the industry. It was just felt that we need to formalise that relationship, because it will take all of us to implement the recommendations in this plan. All of us in government on different levels, as well as private sector. The second one speaks to our tourism supply, where we say we need to deploy an enhanced tourism supply support package to protect tourism assets through a credit guarantee scheme, and to protect core infrastructure and to support reopening. So what this measure speaks to is the fact that we need to have products and services in place when the tourists comes from abroad, or our citizens tour their own country for them to visit. If there's no products and services in place, there's nothing for them to go and visit and experience. So there's a number of interventions that must be put in place to protect the tourism supply, and some of those, or the Tourism Relief Fund and the Tourist Guide Fund, already are examples of this measure, of the implementation of this measure. The third measure speaks to biosecurity protocols. That is, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, when we were put under level 5 lockdown as a country, I think at that point the thinking was that the tourism sector would be one of the last sectors that will open. And it might only open at level 2 or level 1. We then realized in working very closely together with private sector, led by the TVCSA, on safety protocols to assist different subsectors of the tourism sector to open throughout the phases. And that's how the tourism sector then started to open a bit earlier as was originally anticipated. With the fourth measure, what is around access and connectivity, the recommendation is that we convene a national air access team and implement an air service development program to reconnect South Africa to the world. We are aware that there's in certain provinces teams does exist, but the recommendation is that we convene a national team. The fifth measure speaks to the facilitation of ease of travel. Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, this is not a new intervention that is introduced. It is something that we have embarked on already, and that is to partner with accountable departments to remove barriers to travel and enable freer entry, to reduce tourist crime, and to provide stronger personal safety and security guarantees, as an example. The sixth measure speaks to the domestic demand, and we are saying that we need to catalyze domestic demand through the phases of reopening. Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, Minister also alluded to that the reopening of the sector started with accommodation establishment providing accommodation during the repatriation and quarantine stages of the pandemic. Then domestic travel was open for business tourism, and then it was now it's open for leisure as well. Firstly, it was within provinces, and now it's between provinces as well. So that is what this intervention speaks to. And it says that the phases of reopening must happen with informative and inspirational messaging that encourage safe tourism and domestic vacation experiences, especially in this month that we are in at the moment, which is the month that we celebrate tourism and the importance of domestic tourism as a contributor to total tourism. So then the seventh intervention speaks to a targeted global marketing program, that we need to execute a global marketing and travel trade program that's targeted at the highest potential source markets and interpret travel consumer segments to reignite the international demand. We are aware that the consumer, the international tourists, the domestic tourists might not have the same preferences that they had before COVID, and we need to also have an understanding of that. On the eighth measure, it speaks to investment and market entry facilitation, and it recommends that we launch an investment and market entry facilitation program to stimulate capital investment, sector transformation, and product diversification. The ninth measure speaks to regional value proposition, and it says that we need to prioritize cooperation with our neighboring destination towards South Africa's contribution in the implementation of the SADC tourism strategy. So we developed together with the members of SADC a tourism strategy for the region before COVID, and we are now working with the members to see how we need to respond to COVID and how do we need to change the strategy in response to the pandemic. And then the last one speaks to the structural mechanisms for the implementation of the plan. Honourable Chair and members, tourism is, as you are all aware, a concurrent function with roles for national and roles for provincial, and we all know that tourism happens at the local level. So we are saying that we need to look at and put in place tourism institutional architecture that would deliver efficient, effective, and purpose-led support for the implementation of the plan, of this tourism plan. And ultimately, the aim is for the growth of the sector, to also contribute to the growth of the country and the growth of job creation, as well as transformation of the sector and in a broader term. Honourable Chair, I hope that gave a bit of more detail. Thank you very much. The recovery plan is also, the draft one is also available on the website of the department, and it also gives much more detail on each of these. So then we can move to the next slide. Thank you. This just speaks, as I said, to the stakeholder engagement and consultation, just to highlight that all of this was done in collaboration with key partners. Next slide, please. More consultation that was done. Next slide, please. That also lists Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, just to highlight that consultation was not only done in general with the tourism sector, but also specifically with subsectors within the sector, like, for example, women in tourism, the hunters, the small business community, and so on. Next slide, please. Next one. Thank you, Honourable Chair. That concludes the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you. Let me again express my gratitude for the intervention that you made when we had a crisis. Just to acknowledge that among the participants, we have the MEC of KwaZulu-Natal, MEC Dube, who's the MEC for Economic Development, Environmental Affairs and Tourism, but also we have the MEC from Mpumalanga, responsible for Finance, Economic Development, Environmental Affairs and Tourism, MEC Ngomani. And then, like I indicated, we also have executive mayors amongst us, Executive Mayor Makubo, then we also have Executive Mayor Buyeye, also Executive Mayor Pagati, Executive Mayor Shai Boyson, Executive Mayor Masangu, and Executive Mayor Marek.
Kwa. Those are the mayors that we have, and also the MECs that we have. The next presentation will be by the Chief Executive Officer of Tourism Business Council of South Africa, Mr. Shivengwa. Over to you, CEO.
Thank you, Chair. Let me preface my CEO's presentation by giving context, which will take about 2 minutes. My name is Blakey Khomani. I'm the chairman of the Tourism Business Council. And really, Chair, thank you for the opportunity to address this committee. As TBC
says, the green light. My humble and sincere apology for not acknowledging the political leadership of the entity. Thank you.
no problem. We really appreciate the opportunity to present to this committee, to your honorable members, to the deputy minister who is here, who is more like our colleague in the private sector, the minister in her absence, the DG, the chairman of the SAT, who are really our partners, the MECs that you saw mentioned, and the mayors and the colleagues. You know, for us, really, the department has covered most of the areas that we're going to talk about. But safe to say that this committee can take comfort in the fact that us, being the private sector that represents about 80% of the industry, and the minister and the department, we work very closely together. As the deputy, the DDG said, what we have achieved so far in terms of fast-tracking the opening of some of the tourism activities was a result of our collaboration. Chair, Anne talks about the 10 measures. Really, those 10 measures that she outlined are the areas that the minister and ourselves have agreed that will be at the cornerstone of our structured engagement. So I'm not going to go through that. My only two appeals to this committee is that when the DG presented, he talked about the budget that was cut. We hope that the lawmakers and the MECs that are here will help with the recovery of that budget, because when things go back to normal, this country needs to be marketed. This beautiful country of ours needs to go back to the market and take its rightful place and create the jobs that we saw projected before COVID-19. The second thing, Chair, is the opening of the international borders, and the minister talked to that because we need to grow or recover our lost market share. And lastly, by no means, Chair, the legacy issues which Anime talked about, the issues of transformation, the issues of visa regulations, as well as the vehicle permits that were affecting our industry. We need to pay attention to those things. With that, Chair, and my thanks to everyone, I'll hand over to our CEO to outline what it is that we have done as a private sector to help to flatten the curve, and also to enjoy where our country is in terms of the virus spread. Thank you, Chair, and thank you to honorable members. Chief, you want to come in?
Thank you, my chairman. Afternoon to the honourable chair, president of the committee.
Apologies, just to sensitise you that you have 15 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you, chair. The chair of the committee, honourable minister of tourism, Minister Kubai Ngubane, the deputy minister of tourism, Deputy Minister Fish Matlalela. I know there are MECs from various provinces, the DG of Tourism, the CEO of South African Tourism, the Chairman of SA Tourism Board, all protocols observed. I'm usually not very good with protocols, but I'm learning. Thank you very much for giving us this opportunity. One of the biggest things in the tourism industry since the beginning of the lockdown is how, you know, are we going to survive? And how do we ensure that, you know, the supply side of tourism is maintained? And how do we make sure that, you know, those small businesses, you know, that may not have reserves in the bank are able to, once again, get back on their feet and they're able to participate within the tourism industry. So one of the first things that we did was to contribute to, you know, flattening the curve in terms of, you know, putting aside 30 million rand to help out, you know, in accommodation for that, that was used for quarantine or isolation for various, you know, people across our country and those that were traveling within our country. And we believe that that went a long way and also helped help the industry as well in learning how to deal with COVID-19 and how to make sure that we operate safely. In the subsequent introduction, or the subsequent introduction of risk adjusted strategy, as an industry, you know, we came together and said we need to come up with mitigation factors to make sure that we de-risk the sector and be able to operate safely. And therefore, we developed the industry health and safety protocols that were consulted widely throughout the value chain of tourism, from attractions to hotels, big and small, to car rentals, to conference venues. The list goes on to make sure that the value chain understands, you know, the risk of COVID, and the value chain understands that there has to be mitigation factors put in place to make sure that we return back to work. This was an adjustment to the industry, but not a huge adjustment because we have very much sanitized industry. We have been, you know, operating many, many establishments that adhere to, you know, either municipal protocols in terms of cleanliness, be it, you know, international standards in terms of our kitchens and so forth and so on. So we just needed to make a further adjustment to ensure that you know, we are compliant and we instill that trust, you know, in our travelers, both domestic and international travelers. So the industry protocols have been in place for quite a number of months. They've been in use for business travelers, domestic leisure travelers, and those that are traveling for, you know, other purposes that are permitted for them to travel. What we have done is to ensure that, you know, the protocols remain a live document or living document, whereby whenever there are changes, we can quickly change the documents, we can quickly adjust and make sure that we send it out, you know, to the entire value chain of tourism industry and they're able to adjust as much as they can. Part of the protocols is that we develop an education, you know, process where people can go and do self-assessments online to make sure that they understand what they need to do as an establishment in the morning.
You are missing your presentation on the screen.
Chair, we don't have the presentation on the screen.
Okay.
I'm just summarizing so that we can fit in everything in the next 10 minutes.
No problem. I hope honorable members are comfortable with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. So the education part is to make sure that, you know, the establishments, you know, are able to do self-assessments. They're able to do many different things to understand the COVID impact and how to mitigate the risk. And that's a free education that is accessible to anyone within the value chain, and anyone can be able to get a certification from that, a health certification from that program. We also implemented an app which is used by, you know, the establishments at the moment to make sure that they can do track and tracing, they can register their staff, they can do all sorts of things that are required by regulation, and also things that we've, you know, we have enhanced on the protocols. And that app, you know, is gonna evolve. You know, we want the consumers to be able to use it and to be able to report non-compliance of protocols. At the moment, you know, the reporting of non-compliance happens through, you know, the email system to us, and we're able to talk to those properties and make sure that, you know, there is an improvement, you know, from that point of view. What we've done, communications to make sure that people are aware of the protocols. We are pushing adoption of the protocols. We are working with many suppliers within the sector, including the likes of RCL Foods, big companies.
You, can you switch your video on?
I've switched it on, Chair. Can you see me?
Great.
So we have worked with a lot of suppliers within our sector to make sure that, you know, the message is sent across, and we're able to ensure that, you know, there is a high adoption in terms of protocols. And the work continues because protocols are the pillars of, making sure that both the domestic and the international travelers, you know, have trust in our destination and they're able to travel without fear. So we have done that work. We will continue to do that work on protocols. We will continue to intensify, you know, our work and make sure that, adoption rate is higher. And we will work with, you know, all entities, both from the private sector and all also from the public sector, to make sure that, you know, our implementation goes, you know, to every village and every town that receives tourists and that have, the establishments or attractions. Another thing that we have done from our side is, of course, participate in the recovery strategy that is done by the Department of Tourism. We work very closely with SA Tourism. We participated in the debate, you know, on the strategy, and we do believe that, you know, the strategy does cover, you know, most of the things that needs to be covered, and it talks to, you know, the things that needs to be done in order for tourism to thrive. And, you know, we will, you know, continue, you know, to support, you know, the recovery of the sector, because the recovery of the sector involves everyone within the value chain, and it means people going back to work. We have worked on financial support on the TIAS program with the UIF. We work very closely with the UIF commissioner, as the DG have said, and we've managed to, track many establishments, and also assisted many establishments that were struggling to get their TIAS, money, and we were able to get, you know, those employees paid. And we continue to work very closely with UIF, in making sure that, you know, whatever needs to be done in that front, you know, is done and is completed. The next phase of financial support, we are, you know, involved in the NEDLEC, subcommittee that's looking at the government guarantee loan scheme to make sure that it's accessible to small businesses and also to previously disadvantaged businesses. And we are working together with the banking association to make sure that these discussions are advanced and those that are in need of financial assistance are able to be assisted on time, because we cannot afford to wait, because we will lose many small businesses that are integral part of the tourism value chain. And in fact, you know, they promote a lot of transformation because they are new, they come with new products that are innovative, and they are able to, you know, they come from many rural areas, and we need to continue to support those businesses. The funding of the recovery plan is critical, as the Chairman Blakey Komani have said. With the recovery document done and the subsequent, possible adoption by cabinet, it needs to be funded. We need to remain competitive in the international markets and here at home. And then we need to make sure that, when tourists are choosing which country to go to, South Africa is top of mind and they're able to come to this country. We are appreciative of the fact that, the domestic tourism is open. I have traveled myself to Mpumalanga and Limpopo observing protocols, and I was quite impressed with, the amount of compliance, in some of these establishments. In some of them, I couldn't even get in until I found my mask. I couldn't even, walk into any place without, seeing the sign that says social distancing or 50 people or less in the pool and so forth and so on. So it's encouraging to see that the industry has adopted these protocols and they are implementing these protocols. However, it does come with a cost. And this has been expressed by many, many, small businesses that are situated in rural areas that, sometimes they don't have working capital to be able to buy these PPEs. But, it's encouraging that there is an adoption. In terms of the domestic travel, if you look at aviation, we still have a long way to go. If have to get many airlines, you know, flying. We need to get, you know, the likes of FAA and British Airways back, you know, flying, including Ukulula and others. And there's more work that needs to be done in terms of stimulating demand and making sure that people are comfortable traveling, you know, within their own country. Of course, it's important to also note that, you know, there is a slowdown in corporate travel. This means that the travel management companies, you know, that are responsible for booking this corporate travel, including government travel, this part of our sector employs a lot of people that are now sitting at home waiting for, you know, either government travel to resume and corporate travel to resume. So there is a need for us to ensure that, you know, corporates and governments understand that the protocols, you know, that we put in place, you know, are good enough, you know, for everyone to travel and good enough for everyone to attend, you know, the prescribed meetings in various places across the country. So that is just one part of the industry, which is very important in sustaining the accommodation sector when people go up and down, including the car rental companies. So that is, you know, our presentation, Chair. I just thought I should cover some few things that are quite critical. We continue to work very closely with the department. We continue to work very closely with South African Tourism, the Provincial Tourism Authority, the municipalities that have, you know, tourism. We continue to make sure that, you know, everyone understands the protocol that needs to be applied, and we will continue to do so. And we do, you know, want this committee to help us ensuring that, you know, everyone understands that tourism is safe, people can travel safely. And one of the most critical points to get our international borders to open to support, you know, the already, you know, devastated industry. I believe it's going to go a long way in opening borders. And I know that there are a lot of people that have postponed their trips when we were talking to them beginning of lockdown to say, instead of canceling, postpone your trips. And I believe it's time now that we open the international border in a safe way and let those that want to travel our country to travel our country. I think that there's a lot of interest overseas. Our trade partners have been talking to us, and we believe we are ready as a sector, and we hope that soon we will get a date and we'll be able to work towards that date and stimulate demand across the board. Thank you very much.
The presentation and the input that you made can you share with the committee secretaries so that at least it can be shared by the participants? I want to believe that both the provinces and also the municipalities would benefit by having that input with them. Honourable members, that was the presentation. I must just emphasize one point that I'm standing in for the chairperson of the Select Committee, Honorable Khai. Honorable Khai is with us. Of course, the challenge is the connectivity that is making it a bit of a challenge. So I had to step in. We want to request the participants that let's share the discussion for now and allow the MEC of KwaZulu-Natal Economic Development, Environmental Affairs and Tourism to present, and also then should be followed by MEC from Mpumalanga. I think what is critical is that let's allow the provincial inputs to follow the framework as laid by the minister. I want to believe that throughout the consultative province, there has been an engagement at the level of the MINMEC. But more than that, at the level of municipalities, there are provincial tourism authorities that has been engaging with the municipalities. MEC Nomusa Dube, the platform is yours.
Thank you, Chair.
Can we have the KZN presentation?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Chair. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members. Just have to adjust my, yes, so that you can see how much you are missing this tourism place, this destination. Thank you very much for the opportunity, Honorable Members, to present to you. And indeed, we are very grateful to be sharing with the Honorable Members the work that we are doing in KwaZulu-Natal. Just as a way of introducing our presentation to you, just to say that, Honorable Members, that on behalf of our province, we do wish to thank you very much for this opportunity to share with you what it is we are doing as a province of KwaZulu-Natal in working on our reconstruction and recovery plan on this very important economic sector. I also wish to acknowledge Honorable Members, the Honorable Chairperson. I wish to acknowledge Minister, as well as my Deputy Minister. I also do wish to acknowledge the MECs, my colleagues that are joining us here, and all the Honorable Members that are joining us. I also do wish to acknowledge the mayors and all the senior officials and the chairs of entities and all the CEOs. Honorable Members, I do wish to acknowledge the fact that as an elected representative, we will ensure that we continue to rely on the NCOP as a critical pillar of our democracy. In sharing on this platform the work that we are doing as various provinces. I do also wish to acknowledge the fact that synergizing our work as we are doing now, the functioning of government at the national, provincial, as well as the local level, at the NCOP level, will assist us in heterodemocracy and promoting intergovernmental relations. And therefore, I do wish to thank you, Chairperson, for, you know, convening the session. We also wish to recognize the work of the Select Committee in also looking at what's being done, but also in looking at the budgets of the departments, because the point that was made earlier, Honorable Chairperson, on the budget cuts in particular, it's very important because for those sector in particular, unless as a government we are seen to be supportive and intervening, our words would not make any meaningful contribution into the sector itself and actually in recovering the much needed jobs that we need into the sector. Honorable Members, before we make a presentation, I also do wish to indicate that in the past weekend, I was joined by my colleague, the MEC for Transport and Community Safety, MEC Nduli, on the inspection of the work that we are doing in the province on our regional airports. And we were inspecting one of our south airports, which is the Margate Airport in the south coast of our province. And this airport is one of the airports that we are using as a direct airport traveling to Johannesburg. It has a direct flight that travels every day from Port Shepstone to Johannesburg for business as well as for tourism. And it enhances really our tourist destination there in the south. We also visited a number of attractions there in the south coast. One of them is what is called Kwaxolo Caves, which is one of our tourism attractions, which boasts caves dating back, many years ago from the Khoi and the Fen communities there. We do wish to thank our traditional leadership communities who've worked with the local government in ensuring that this work really comes to fruition, working with all the stakeholders. Critically, honorable members, we also hosted in our province a virtual online trade mission with our United Kingdom partners. We had about 140 companies from the United Kingdom working with our entity, the Trade and Investment KwaZulu-Natal, as well as the Durban Chamber of Commerce with the North England Chamber. The session also saw a number of business people from the United Kingdom being interested in the investment into the tourism sector. And that also meant a lot for us, because it does say that we do remain a very interesting and important destination in our country. So this session was very timely, considering the fact that September is our heritage and tourism month here in South Africa, because delegates were very impressed about the work that is being done. The fact that in KZN, we do have direct flights, which is the British Airways, which has got the direct flight from London Heathrow to King Shaka International Airport. And as a department, we've been working very hard with our local municipalities and ensuring that we mainstream the tourism, but also we capacitate our municipalities in terms of all the support that we need. To ensure that from now on till the festive season, we really work hard in supporting the industry in ensuring that our tourism industry is really recovering. More in as well, honorable members, the inclusive growth in the tourism sector will assist us enormously in our pledge to address the inequality through the radical economic transformation. And to achieve the economic and inclusive growth, we are ensuring that the sphere of government work towards increasing the number of tourism programs and projects that are led and benefits all the communities. And this, we believe, will lay the foundation for real transformation and to the root of the tourism, products that can be diversified in our province. We are also intensifying the rolling out of those capacity building programs in our municipality. We've also developed the skills programs and promoting the culture of service excellence and through the grading system that assures the quality of service of our facilities. In order to enhance our tourism products, honorable members. The maintenance of our transport infrastructure, as well as the safety of our tourists, is one of the key areas that we are working on, honorable members. In terms of our relief packages, we are going to be making a presentation that will show the work that is being done, but also that will show the work that still needs to be done, honorable members. So I do wish to indicate that in 2019, indeed, tourism across the globe has grew even in our province. But with the advent of the COVID-19 and the lockdown, we've seen quite a huge drop in the tourism numbers. But we are also adopting now a very aggressive program, such as what you might have seen with the Durban July 2020 that was held virtually, as well as the number of other programs that have been held continuously virtually. We are continuously also having other programs that we are going to be having in our province, such as the one we're going to be having this coming weekend in our Drakensberg, Ukashamba region. But also, honorable members, we are happy to say as well that our tourism industry players and our partners are really working very hard in adhering to the safety standards that are there in terms of our protocols. So in meeting our tourism stakeholders as well, we've been working very hard in ensuring that at least every bi-weekly we meet. Even during the lockdown, we used to meet virtually with our tourism stakeholders to take them through various regulations that the government was issuing, to also simplify those regulations, but also to take them through various interventions that government was putting in place for them, how to access those interventions, and what is it that any other questions that they might be having to us as government. So we have ensured that we keep in touch at all times. So I wish to conclude, honorable members, my remarks by inviting honorable members and your families to come back to KZN. We have missed you. And our message is that whether you want to be lost in the beauty of our mountains or take a plunge in the next in our adventure, KZN, we've got it all. Whether you want to come for leisure, for business, we've got it all, and we can't wait to welcome you in our land. And we remember our beloved Madiba's words and our quote: "The greatest glory in living lies not only in never failing, but in rising every time we fall." I thank you, Honorable Chairperson. Honorable Chairperson, I will now share the screen for our presentation that we will then do. We'll try and run through the presentation in the shortest time that we have. And Mr. Zamande will be helping me, Honorable Chair, in going through this presentation as we go, as we move to slide to the next slide number 3, please. Thank you.
Thanks, MEC. Just to sensitize the department that they have 10 minutes. I hope you'll be able to manage within the 10 minutes. Thank you. Let's gallop.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson and the Honorable Members of the Committee, DG in absentia, as well as other senior management and colleagues. I'll move very quickly in the interest of time on slide 3 as presented. Majority of key points have been highlighted by the briefing introduction of our Honorable MEC, except to emphasize the overview as well as key initiatives. Estimated contribution of KZN tourism business is at 10% to the GVA, as well as the reflection that it supports 740,000 direct jobs. It is linked to a number of other sectors. As you all know, that we are a highly integrated sector. There is also a reflection on the international and domestic numbers, which were at 800,000, and there is a growth to about 6.1 million, respectively, from 2009. It is also important to emphasize that KZN is a premium destination, which offers very diverse experience. We basically pride ourselves for being a world in one. KZN has started to attract direct regional flights, and that has been reflected by our Honorable MEC with the direct flights from Heathrow
to King Shaka, that momentum has been impacted by COVID as we were striving to also spread our wings globally in attracting different global markets. Key initiatives range from the technological platforms as reflected. We have MyRev seen on our Durban July. The similar theme will be carried through the Mandela Marathon as well as other sporting activities, including the e-sport as part of the gaming as well as the value sector chain. Key projects also involve the iconic stature that we plan and to form part of the investment in ensuring that as we reopen, there are also new projects. We are reflecting here specifically projects that have gone past the feasibility stage. It's no longer planning, but it's implementation. Domestic market use, we are intending to use a number of our key ambassadors that are either in our province as well as throughout the country in ensuring that they advocate and amplify the beauty of the province as we are improving on the infrastructure. Tourism infrastructure is very key. Without infrastructure, specifically rural and township areas will not be able to provide the necessary basic information similar to a MIA information center as well as signage and homestays. These are key projects that we are funding to ensure that we follow the theme of rural development utilizing tourism as a catalyst. The aviation has been emphasized by all speakers before me. We know that the lack of the open borders do have an impact in the whole value chain, ranging from the tour groups that land to international airports and spread around provinces. We are still lacking, and we are advocating for that to be relaxed, and we are planning ahead as we are gearing towards hearing what is new. Policy reforms are also very key. It is very key that we utilize this opportunity to reflect, utilize the number of people who have shared the jobs, quantify the numbers, and quantify their skills ability, and see if that cannot be utilized in the reskilling. First, maintain it to the sector because it's people who are already au fait with what is happening within the sector. But secondly, if there is a surplus, the skilling can also be extended to other sectors within the value chain. We are very focused also on reducing the red tape and ensuring that the investment that we're talking about, as well as the lobbying that will result into meaningful investment, does not encounter the bureaucratic processes within government. Next slide, please. I will whiz through the following one. This is merely a reflection of how from 2017 to 2019 we've been growing. On top, it's the international arrivals as well as the economic value derived from the sector. We see that 812,513 equivalent to 6.24 billion as compared to the 6.5 in 2019. We had a slight dip in 2018, but we also note that we were now going on the upward trajectory. Interestingly, on the domestic front, it has been a one-way upward trend from 2.5 million trips up to 6.2 trips in 2019. We are, however, feeling the pinch that we would have lost. We are now projecting almost half. If you look at the numbers below, we are reflecting. Can we move to the next slide, Honorable? Let me see. we are reflecting a decrease in terms of the projections where it was 800,000, but now we are projecting only 400,000. This is the essence of the whole presentation. It revolves around these key 8 thematic points. The first one is aligning ourselves with the de-risking as aligned. Each time there was a pronouncement by His Excellency President from level 5 up to 4, we also had to de-risk and ensure that the regulations are interpreted as well as communicated and shared with the whole sector. The relief packages on number 2, as well as the sector lobbying, is part of the continuous program for the province, which ensures that the packages are done in collaboration with the private sector, but also are finding a specific market within the sector. Third one is the repurposing and the investment. And that is where we, as we are visiting the rural areas, we are also identifying investment opportunities. The fourth one is the support to SMME, which is very central. As you would know, that our economy is largely supported by small businesses, even though it's anchored on the established business. Industry communication is very key. It is very important for us as government to ensure that we communicate every step of the way and ensure that whatever support we craft is support that is plugging into the real needs of the sector. Promotion and marketing has been always key. We have always ensured that we keep KZN in top of mind in various mediums of communication, and we'll be reflecting that going forward. The social economic impact is very important, as well as the sector analysis. Here, we're merely reflecting on the numbers and seeing how we are hit, and also projecting on the numbers that will make us keep afloat, as well as analyzing the sector in the meantime and ensuring that the research as articulated by the DG are also filtering in our province, and we also do our own ones. The next slide, please. This is merely notes reflecting on what exactly we did when we say de-risking of the tourism sector. We were ensuring alignment, as I have said, with the processes internationally and as well as nationally. We were offering the relevant certificates as well as permits for the essential travelers within the sector. We also distributed guidelines on the issues of healthy and the safe protocol as they were developed on an ongoing basis. We also acknowledge the fact that the PPE are very essential in us reigniting. It was exciting to hear that the visits by the CEO have also reflected on the importance of these aspects in ensuring that the small businesses are really opening. And these we call starter packs, as they enable the B&Bs as well as the guest houses, which are in remote areas, to go back into business on a very swift way. Create COVID-safe zone. This is what we theme are areas of high tourist traffic, where we were emphasizing a zero tolerance in terms of the transgressions, ensuring that there is a high visibility of safety. There is also a high visibility of interventions that are ensuring information is fluid. The next slide, please. Relief packages and sector lobbying is one ongoing support and relief to the sector. We form this in collaboration with the private sector. We standardize the approach to collation of information. I must emphasize this standardization of the approach. It is important that when we conduct research throughout regions and provinces, we formulate standardized methodologies to collate data so that when we interpret, we are able to collate it together and interpret and project either a provincial or a national. We find that when we are doing this, we'll conduct an economic impact analysis in one district and economic impact in another district, and we'll find that methodologies do not allow us to collate information and project provincial. So this is very key as part of the policy reviews as we go forward. We want to also develop municipal support, as mentioned by MEC. This is very key because majority of the tourism product finds...
I'm concerned that if you are going to go through all those 8 points, difficult. Don't go deeper and too much details because now you will run beyond your 10 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Of emphasis on this slide is the basic support to municipalities and ensuring that there are structures that support tourism at local municipality as well as district that we coordinate as a province. Next slide, please. This is a continuation of the relief packages and sector lobbying that we have done, where we were assisting SMMEs on the filling of forms, uploading of all these nitty-gritties to be able to benefit from the provincial relief, national relief fund, as well as the tourist guide, including the UIF. Very innovatively, Etegwini municipalities offered what is called rebates on the sector, where instead of aligning the rates for B&Bs and guest houses, they were reduced into residential rates, which was a huge benefit. They did not stop there, but they also increased the fund to CTO, which is your community tourism organizations that reports to specific municipalities. And that was also increased by 100%. So if they were offered 100,000, it would have meant that over the period, they were getting 200,000. One-stop shop was very critical. As we move to the next slide, which will reflect it, is the importance of us as a province putting together a one-stop shop that looked at all the business that were done and assisted throughout the province. Repurposing and the tourism investment is also one key area, as we reflected on our launch over the weekend around the caves. We visit these areas, but we don't also end there. We take the investment team along so that they identify investment opportunities and ensure that there is link between township, rural, as well as the established business. The next slide, please. This is the continuation from the tourism investment, which also reflects on the projects which are in rural areas, and Mkuze Falls and Mzumbe Trail, which is part of the experience as offered by the rural settings. The next slide. I will, however, spend just a couple of extra seconds on this one, as it is very key. Business retention, it was very important to ensure that those businesses which have been funded and established and catalyzed by business and government for the past 26 years, that investment is not left to waste. We did that support by ensuring that the BEE businesses benefit, the UIF, CIPC, the grading, also as an integrated support, we ensure that the relief is communicated, as well as the government intervention are made accessible to this sector. The next slide. Specific to KZN, we partner with the Tourism Grading Council of South Africa to ensure that the incentives that are made available are also accessible to our businesses, as we know that accommodation is one of the key anchors in the tourism value chain. We also supporting tourism businesses and SMME through our innovative funding, which is Operation Vula, with three funding tiers. The first tier is from 0 cents up to 200,000. The second one from 200,000 up to 500. And the last one is from 500,000 up to 2 million. And the number of tourism enterprises have also benefited from this. We've conducted trainings to ensure protocols in the Kula village, Nongoma, tourist guides in Smangaliso, and we continuously conduct webinars as they are reflected on the next slide. This is an extension of the rural projects that are set in areas. You will see that on the left, it's the name of the project and the description. I'll use the first example and highlight on others. The Kopi Island Guest House is a guest house owned by Mahlalela Community Trust through land restitution program. They received this land through that program, and as a provincial government, we are assisting them in ensuring that it is up to standard and it is graded and the staff is trained and the markets are also made aware of it. And as we package and market the destination, they form part of the experience, and the budget is 1.5. Where you see astronomic figures, you would note that there is also national intervention. The next one is Umkhuze Fall. I have reflected on that, and we can go to the next slide. This slide is a continuation of the last slide, which is your Togazi and your Howick precinct. I will emphasize on the Howick Falls because we were very fortunate to have the National Portfolio Committee visiting this site and seeing what used to be a 10-coach bus per day, now reduced to no bus at all. So we realized 5 million to this project to ensure that it is readily packaged for further investment of reigniting it, but linking it with the existing experiences similar to the Mandela Capture Site and linking to the beautiful Midlands Meander. The next one is Ndumo. I won't also dwell much on it. Suffice to say that all of them are projects that are based in rural areas, and they are focusing on product development almost spread out throughout the province. Next slide. We'll also whiz through this one. It's a similar projection. Banganek, as well as Lilani, are funded, co-funded by National Tourism Department. These are hot springs. Lilani, very unique in the province, and Banganek as well is in Umkhanyakude, and we're linking it up with the projects that formulate part of the Istri route. Umzumbe River Trails, this is in the south. It is an extension of the caves that were visited. It is exactly within the same rural setting, Gwanzimagwe. That is the area under the chief. And as part of the products that are developed in the area, the Mzumbe River Trail are linked to the experience of the caves, as well as the beachfront and the sea cruise experience. The next slide, please. Industry communication is very important, and this was conducted using existing structures, as well as distribution information through visitor information centers within municipalities. We also integrated and disseminated in information about the relief fund, as well as the protocol. We continuously conducted visual engagements through webinars, ensuring that there is consistency and a legitimate voice that articulates either information that must be shared or possible intervention that must be benefited by the sector. Next slide.
I'm giving you 5 minutes to wrap up.
I am about to wrap up, Honorable Chair. I think I have touched on the industry communication. This is very important as well in ensuring that the provincial tourism district command is linked to the provincial tourism forum, which met bi-weekly to ensure that there is coordination of tourism information dissemination, but as well as information collating for upward sharing. The next slide. This is an example of the nature of engagement that we have conducted. You will note that it started from the 9th of March when we received a briefing by the Honorable Minister of Tourism in Johannesburg. And the following day, we met with the Board of Tourism KZN to brief them. And it then did not stop. It still continues up until today, where we are planning to be meeting with the private sector in ensuring that whatever interventions are done are also informed by industry needs. As you would know, that tourism is industry-led but government-regulated. The next slide. The promotion is very important. And you would note that KZN has never stopped to market. We have always advocated for you to always consider us as we move from one level to the other, and we continuously amend and upgrade our message, as you have heard with the MEC now saying, we are open, you can come through the borders and we'll gladly offer you an experience of note. The next one. These have been on radio as well as in any other platform. And the plan here is to reignite domestic tourism through the tourism month. And we are saying that our emphasis on this tourism month festivities and activities is not merely a tourism month, but we are launching the festive season in a subtle way and ensuring that the momentum carries through throughout the festive season. The next slide. Based on the promotion, it's advertising and going on the ground, interacting with the sector itself, as well as industry engagement, as I've articulated before. The next one. This one is where I reflected on the socio-economic impact. It is very important to understand the economic impact of the sector, how it contributes to the economy so that we budget appropriately for it, but also how it has been impacted by the COVID, so that when we plan for interventions, we know the ability of the sector and we fund it accordingly, but informed by empirical evidence. The next one, slides. This is linked to the analysis, as I have reflected before, and we also benchmark and align to all these sector analyses which are conducted nationally as well, and we participate on them. Next slide. Sector analysis, I think I've elaborated on this, but suffice to say that the reviewal of the master plan wouldn't have come at the right time, as we are doing it in the province. It gives us an opportunity to relook, but to also align it to the DDM, District Development Model, and ensure that as we move forward, it talks to all our core competencies of the province, the coastline, the nature, the culture, as well as the political heritage, and magnifying on the Mandela Capture Site and linking it throughout the province. The next one. Here we are concluding. The first point basically recognize, and it is very aligned to the what I term 10 commandments as presented by the National Department. We are recognizing key partners who are very strategic in the reignition and recalibration plan, But we are also emphasizing the fact that we are dependent on a viable economy nationally as well as provincially for us as a sector to thrive. We are very much cognizant of the inclusive reconstruction that must be taking place as part of the second point in ensuring that our integration with other sectors helped to catalyze everyone throughout the value chain. The third point basically reflects on the integration as emphasized before. And the fourth point ensures that there is clarity on the political direction as well as the activation of the technical ability in ensuring that tourism do get back to its glory. And as you know, that KZN is very much ahead in terms of attracting and has been very prominent in the domestic tourism front. We also want to facilitate the development of infrastructure, as mentioned before. I'm sure you've heard the MEC articulating on our support to the key infrastructure efforts are very key as part of the airlift strategy throughout the province. It is not only Margate Airport, but it is all these smaller airports throughout the province, and some of them are located within the game reserves. We also want to reorientate tourism towards the domestic to minimize the impact. We've been impacted very heavily, and for us to start generating business for that aunt who is working in a craft market, and for that tourist guide who has had no international tourists. But we want to say developing this culture as part of us traveling, but is also part of interprovincial traveling will be very key in ensuring. I've spoken to the issue of policy alignment. You would know that a lot of our value chain services, some of them require licenses, which are required from the Department of Transport, and some of them are vented to Home Affairs, as you have noted in the recent years. Streamlining policies and making sure that there is integration of the informal economy into the mainstream will be very key in us going forward. We also want to ensure the aggressive unblocking of red tape, as I've mentioned before, and the streamlining of regulatory approvals. Specifically on issues of tourism as it relates to the integration. An example here will be the signage, which is not necessarily within the Department of Tourism, but it is very key for tourism to thrive, as people will need to know it. In closing, I would like to emphasize, as emphasized by our executives, that people visit clean, safe, and basic areas that have basic infrastructure. So going forward, it will be very important to ensure that our provinces and towns are clean and they are safe, and the basic infrastructure that enables tourism is provided. Thank you.
Thank you, Manzimande, for taking us through the presentation. Re-emphasizing the broader overview remarks that was made by MEC Dube. We will now move over to MEC Ngomane. The floor is yours, MEC Ngomane.
Thank you, Chairperson of the Select Committee, Mr. Hai.
Yeah, I'm the acting chairperson, Mr. Mumba.
Oh, acting chair and honorable members. The minister in absentia, I think she left us now. The deputy minister, Mr. Mahlalela. MEC Dube Nguve.
Can you just
Our big
work on your screen, because now half of, it's only half of your face that is showing. Thank you, thank you, thank you, MEC. So you are now
MEC Dubengube, our big brother in tourism.
Just pick it up a bit. Yes. A bit, yeah. Thank you.
Yes, our big brother in tourism. I had them with the sea without Kruger National Park. We have Kruger National Park this side, and they start here and they end up there. Thank you, MEC. Mayors from different metros present here. Chairperson and CEO of the Tourism Business South Africa present here. Our CEO of our entity, MTPA, Mr. Lubunga. Thank you very much for affording us this opportunity to interact with the committee and present our department's COVID-19 intervention to the Mpumalanga provincial tourism sector. Mpumalanga province was on a positive trajectory as it experienced a steady increase of foreign tourists arrival from 1.6 million in 2018 to 1.7 million in 2019. The recorded increase was from our province traditional source markets, namely Eswatini, Mozambique, Germany, the USA, and United Kingdom. However, the domestic market continued to decline in that Mpumalanga recorded 400,000 less domestic trips in 2019 compared to 2018. 2.5 million domestic trips in 2019 compared to 2.9 recorded in 2018. Even though the numbers in relation to domestic tourism were going down, the revenue generated by the tourism sector continued to grow. Nationally, it is estimated that tourism industry has lost at least 68 billion since the start of COVID-19-induced national lockdown. Consequently, an estimated 49,000 SMEs nationally have been negatively affected, and some could even close down business during the current financial year. Our province was also not being spared, as the sector is estimating that the total of 30,000 jobs could be lost as a result of COVID-19 pandemic. A recent survey conducted by the private sector in Mpumalanga indicated that majority of businesses had experienced severe decline in revenue since national lockdown, and some phase out. In response, the province, working with the private sector, has developed the tourism recovery plan. The plan has since been approved by the Provincial Executive Council. The recovery plan proposed measures to enable reopening and repositioning Mpumalanga to compete in the national and global markets post-COVID-19. We continue to work with private sector to solicit funding for the plan, which will benefit tourism SMEs in the main. The Mpumalanga provincial government, presented by our Department of Economic Development and Tourism, commits to collaborate with private sector to fund and implement recovery plan. We currently engaging our municipality to offer 90-day payment holiday for outstanding rates and taxes, for electricity bills, which include affected business, including tourism, SMMEs, and cooperatives. We are also engaging the South African Revenue Service to delay payment of any monies due to it from the business. We have also interacted with third parties to relax the payments of insurance on properties and vehicles. Grant 90-day loan repayment holiday on public entity Mega, our own public entity, Mpumalanga Economic Growth Agency has approved payment holidays of between 3 to 6 months to businesses, including for tourism SMMEs financed by them. Other government entities such as NEF, IDC, and CIFA has also provided funding to the SMMEs in the tourism sector in our province. Through our tourism marketing entity, the MTPA, we have granted concession to the tourism SMMEs some of our provincial nature reserves, namely Manyeleti, Songimvelo, Blade, River Canyon, as well as the Tarisen Resort. Through the MTPA, we have also assisted our SMMEs to apply for tourism relief funds, which has been highly re-emphasized by our national department. From this facilitation, a total of 11,900,000 was allocated to 238 provincial tourism SMMEs, meaning that each business received an amount of 50,000. The MTPA further arranged a webinar for SMMEs on how to stay in business during COVID-19 pandemic. The MTPOA also provides business advice and market access for all tourism SMMEs. We also created the stakeholder partnership platform known as Mpumalanga Tourism Sector Forum to deal with issues affecting tourism industry in general. In addition, we are also coordinating and supporting the local tourism organization LTOs and regional tourism organization in the province, working closely with our local municipalities and district municipalities. Chairperson, the Mpumalanga provincial government has prioritized the tourism sector as key economic sector for growth. As such, all key partners in the province have agreed to rally behind the safeguarding this only goal that we have. As a province intervention, our department has recently reviewed the Mpumalanga Tourism Development Strategy, which takes into account the development in the sector. We are in fact looking beyond COVID-19. We are also currently finalizing the development of the rural and township tourism plan, which seeks to address the geographic spread and transformation of the sector. In addition, as already indicated, we believe the recently approved Mpumalanga Tourism Recovery Plan by the Provincial Executive Council in response to the negative impact of COVID-19 pandemic is also part of our policy intervention in this regard. Chairperson, as a way forward, I recommend that the Select Committee will support our efforts in striving to revive our tourism sector in Mpumalanga. The select committee, I want to believe, will recommend the national government should allocate more funding to the province, funding which should be ring-fenced to support the growth of our tourism sector in the province. In closing, Chairperson, if there's anything we did not accordingly respond to, we would be happy to finish the committee with further details in writing. We appreciate that you continue to be interested in our work and will welcome your valuable guidance with both arms. Once more, thank you very much for affording us this opportunity to interact with the committee. I thank you, Chair.
Thank you, MEC, for the presentation outlining the broader approach of tourism in your province, and I just need to probably just check with the MEC. So there won't be any presentation from the department. The MEC, in a nutshell, took it upon his soldiers just to.
The chief is myself today. There's no.
Thank you. To that would be good if we can just get that input, MEC, so that at least in our consideration of today's meeting and report, we at least are able to have it. I just want to again thank you for the presentation, MEC Ngomane. We have been glued to this virtual meeting for the last 3 hours. I just want to get a sense from members as to whether should we continue or take just a five minutes break. Guidance on the members.
Chair, it's Honourable Bossoff. I think a 5 minute break would be very, very welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Chair.
I'm fully in support of a 5 minute break, but can I please ask that when we come back, can we start engaging before we get onto the metros? I'm just very concerned that we deal with the metros and we get so far in the program that we forget what the minister said.
Thank you. We'll definitely do that, Brother Seth.
Thank you, Chair. Appreciate it. Thank you.
And remember, just a 5 minutes break. Thanks. Are we all back?
We are here, Chair. I'm here.
Thank you. That's what I wanted to hear. What we'll then do, invite engagements, clarifying questions from presentations. I want to believe that members were able to note areas that they wanted to elaborate on, and also to probably engage in, if needs to be, get clarifying questions from all the presenters. Thus far we have had 4 to 5 presenters. I think good that when a member rises, he or she can just indicate the area and the presenter that he is directing or she is directing the questions to. I'm trying to check in terms of the, as noted, Honorable Bossoff. Let's start with Honorable Bossoff. Members must just use the raise your hand option to attract my attention to his area. Over to Honorable Boshoff.
Thank you very much, Honorable Acting Chair. If I may, I'm directing these questions to the department, and please pardon me if I ask questions that was incorporated into the updated presentation, but I did not have time to go through it. In the presentation that I have, 66% of enterprises have highlighted the requirement for international and domestic markets to open before they open themselves. This is a high percentage and speaks to the importance of the reopening of the borders. What I would like to know is, the minister spoke and said that they are talking about it, but we don't have any date coupled to the possible opening of these borders and international travel. Minister Fakile Mbalula the other day, when he visited the Kinshasa airport and the ORT, he said that international travel will be opening very, very soon. Again, no date coupled, and this is very confusing. Another question with regard to this is whether international travels or travelers or travelers from our African states will be placed in quarantine once international travel is opened. And what will the length be, and who will carry these costs? If this is going to be so, then many, many travelers, we could find them changing their destination to countries that are more accommodating. We also need to be aware that travelers need to make reservations. They have to make visa applications. They need to get the necessary vaccinations if needed. And if we leave it too long, the possible tourists will just choose another destination. My next question is that we all know that tourism is a constitutional mandate, but unfortunately there is little to no coordination between the three levels or the three spheres of government. What I would like to know from the department is whether engagements have already taken place between provincial and local governments to try and see how we can assist them. And because many municipalities do not even budget for any tourist information centres at their offices. And we also see that the political will is not what it should be. And then what I would like to say on this is that the quicker this is addressed, the quicker the realization will sink in that the tourism sector is a lifeline that has not been used to its fullest potential. Chair, then every province has tourism gems and historical history that is not fully utilized. What comes to mind is the Frieder Fort Dome, and then many areas in the Mpumalanga that, like the Blida River Canyon. We only have to look at Tabachea with its historical value. And what is of concern here is that the poor workmanship, the terrible architectural design, the decay of our infrastructure has added to the demise of these centres. These sites are iconic tourist attractions and could have generated millions for these municipalities and provinces alike, and assisted in building and capacitating the rural communities in their midst. What I would like to know again from the department, is there any engagement between yourselves, provinces and municipalities to address this? And the MEC of Mpumalanga alluded to the Kruger National Park, which is a gem in itself. I mean, it's internationally known. But unfortunately, the South Africans, the broader public in South Africa, are unable to visit the Kruger Park. A day, if you want to go in for a day, you have to pay 150 rand for your car. You have to pay 100 rand per person. If you stay over, you still have to pay those daily fees. You
have to pay for accommodation, which is exorbitant. It is really out of the reach of the majority of South Africans. What I'd like to know is what informs the department or the minister that South Africa is still perceived to be a high-risk country? Do you work from statistics, from researchers, and scientific facts or not? If you do, could we be given those facts? Then I'd also like to just make a comment that I cannot understand why the tourism industry is treated differently to that of any other sector that has opened. Why do you say that tourism poses a greater risk? And then with regard to the chairperson of TBC, Mr. Khumani, he says that effective marketing and branding would ensure target markets are reached. Can you expatiate on this and what has been done differently in this regard in the past? That would be great. And then what I'd like to know finally is an amount of 30 million was paid over to 3 hotels that was used as quarantine sites. Are they still open for possible usage as quarantine sites? What was the amount paid over to each of these hotels? What was the cost per individual to accommodate or to have them in quarantine per night? And would you, as the department, say that value for money was received? As many people who made use of these quarantine sites complained that they were substandard. Thank you very much, Honourable Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Boshoff, Honourable Tim, Dr. Seth, over to you.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, if you don't mind, I'm having connection problems here in KZN, so I will not turn my camera on if that's okay.
No, it's okay. I hope MEC Dube will understand.
SABC. Okay.
I'm in KZN.
Yeah, boy. Hello, my sister. Chair, I want to just approach today's engagement with in a positive manner, I hope. First of all, I want everything that has been said by our colleagues in tourism. And I think we all agree that we are blessed by God, it's a beautiful country, that so many people want to visit and want to, whether they are or whether they are foreign visitors. Tourism is the true gold of our country, actually. But one always feels that we are underutilizing it. And the one question I just want to raise, with very happy that Mr. Shivangwa was on the conversation as well, because obviously he speaks from the side of those stakeholders involved in the trade. And so he can give us a great insight there into his experience. I specifically also want to raise an issue that Musa Dube will be able to respond to. And that is, Chair, that we have a severe infrastructure problem in South Africa. And the HOD from KZN spoke about infrastructure, but I think he was referring to information centers and that sort of thing. The infrastructure that I'm referring to, Chair, is basic infrastructure. It's water. It's electricity. Now, I speak specifically, the example I want to use is the example down in the Ugu municipality and the Rankondeni municipality in KZN. That's down now on the lower south coast of Natal. And there are many tourism places there, down from Scottsboro right down to Port Edward. And those particular municipalities are taking a massive amount of strain, the tourism sites in those areas, because there is an incredibly inconsistent supply of water and electricity in the area. And it is extremely problematic for them, because when visitors contact a establishment to go and visit or stay there, one of the first questions they ask is, do you have water? Badinga, they want to know, do you have water? Do you have electricity? And if the establishment says, well, we've got an unstable supply or an unstable supply of both those commodities, they simply will not book. They will go somewhere else. And this is not unique to KZN. I'm sure it's unique to many areas of the country where there is basically an infrastructure breakdown. And so my question to the minister, so I don't think the minister is any longer with us, but to the deputy minister, to the DM, is what efforts are being made to work with COGTA? And I know that MEC Dube will resonate with this because she used to be the MEC for COGTA in KZN. What intergovernmental cooperation is being entered into, or interministerial cooperation is being entered into between tourism and COGTA to try and ensure that the infrastructure, the roads, the water, the electricity is in place for our tourists to come and visit us and to come and stay in our establishments? Because, Chair, we know that many of these establishments not only support businesses, but support many, 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 many jobs. And when they take strain, people lose their jobs. Over 3 million people have lost jobs in this COVID period. So that is one question I really would like to ask MEC Dube to respond to, and also the DM, but then also to get the comment from Mr. Shivangwa as to the impact it has on his clientele, his stakeholders, that lack of infrastructure. And then just my second question, Chair, is the whole issue, and this is very much KZN orientated, but it is also a tourism thing, is the issue of blue flag beaches, Chair. International tourists that come to South Africa, one of the things they check is whether beaches have a blue flag status. Now, there are a host of factors in awarding a beach a blue flag status, and that is the cleanliness of the water and the sea at that beach, the level of E. coli, the facilities on the beachfront itself, the safety, the lighting, all those things. Now, normally those are made the responsibility of the municipality, therefore the responsibility of local government of COGTA. But it seems to be that we're missing a trick where tourism could be working with COGTA to say, we want to assist you and we want to escalate on your behalf and we want to fight alongside you to get as many beaches in South Africa to blue flag status. Because it is definitely an attraction to foreign tourists when they come to South Africa, knowing they can go to a blue flag status beach. And that is not a classification awarded by South Africa. It's awarded by an international organization. So therefore, it is a real feather in our cap when beaches are given that status, and it means that tourists will come to those beaches. And we should have more and more and more of them in the country. But I think we've only got about 5 or 6 or 7, but maybe the MEC can correct me, in KZN alone. I don't think we've got nearly enough, given the amazing coastline that we have in South Africa. So those are just the two issues that I'd really like to get response from the MEC, from the DM, and also input from Mr. Shivangwa as to what his comment is on those issues and the importance of those issues. Thank you, Chair, for your indulgence. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Honorable Patterson. Honorable Dango, the floor is yours.
Chairperson, I think I should wait until the Mayor of Johannesburg has spoken. Then I can put some questions. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Dango. There are also questions that are raised on the chat group. Can you just request Maria to read those questions that are on the chat group?
Okay, thanks, Chair. I've got quite a number of questions from Ms. Boshoff. She says here, according to the minister, 4,000 applicants received 50,000 rand each and 3,288 did not qualify for any relief. What was the nature of their work in the tourism industry, and what was the reason for non-qualification, and how many jobs were lost due to no relief payments for them? She said she can't see those responses in the presentation. From Honorable Matavula, the question is, a question to the minister: in Giyani municipality and in Mopani, the district municipality in Limpopo, no one benefited from the COVID-19 relief fund from the tourism industry, and she wants to know what happened. I think there's another one. I think it's a comment from Honorable Boshoff. I'll just read it out. The Western Cape has rolled out online registration for tour guides, which is a first for South Africa. Will the other provinces follow suit or not? And if not, why not? They've also assisted in rolling out our One Day in Tourism, where tour guides can inspire future travelers through streaming services to conduct tours of the top experiences in the province. Once the virtual tour is complete, the viewer can, through the PayPal or SnapScan, show appreciation by paying for the service, which is not mandatory. Has this been replicated by tour guides in the other provinces, and if not, why not? And the second last question, what is being done, from Honorable Boshoff, what is being done to assist people in rural areas who have informal tourist stalls along the road, selling curios, etc., to acquire the necessary PPEs to ensure that not only their safety, but that of the, not only to ensure their safety, but that of a potential visitor? And the last question is, to the department, what measures have been put in place with regards to safety? We all know that crime is a huge deterrent when it comes to our international travellers. It is for the first question that they ask. This will go for COVID-19 protocols as well. And the last question from Honorable Boshoff is to the MEC of KZN. Would you say that 5 million rand is sufficient to address the issues of Hawick? I think I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. And that's the last question, Chief.
Thank you, Maria. Just from my side, let me start by appreciating all the presenters. I think they are doing a great job in terms of ensuring that, as the select committee, by virtue of our role as defined within the constitution, we are able to ensure that the intergovernmental oversight work on public sector tourism is indeed attended to. Of course, I think the challenge that we are faced with is the fact that tourism, like the minister has indicated, was the hardest hit with the cash flow driving overnight and with customers canceling trips that they planned months ahead and asking for refund. This has indeed made the tourism as a sector and as an industry more vulnerable, and this has ensured that the revenue originated in industry has significantly been lost. I think what would be critical is how do we reposition the tourism industry, particularly within the broader framework of what the National Development Plan expect from tourism, because the National Development Plan has identified tourism industry as one of the strategic industry that is paramount for the growth of the economy. And therefore, it is important, particularly for the rural economies, and giving its centrality to the lives of many households in villages and in rural towns. The fact that with the budget adjustment, it was indicated to us that the 1 billion has been lost, and this was re-emphasized by the minister, and also
re-emphasized by the DG and the team. To me, what is critical is how do we ensure that the tourism recovery strategy, given those 10 key action areas that were flat, what are the vehicle and mechanisms that we can utilize? I'm raising this point within the context of the role that SALDA can play together with the municipalities to ensure that there is a broader convergence of view in terms of ensuring that this industry is indeed reimagined, is indeed reignited, particularly given the fact that it was the first to be hit very hard, and it looks like in terms of many sectors of our economy, is going to be the last to be given a full avenue and space to fully recover. I'm more interested in terms of coordination, particularly using not only provincial government, not only provincial authorities, tourist authorities, but what is key to me, how do we ensure that the tourism strategy find expression in the work or in the IDP of our municipalities, using the department as a launching pad to be able to ensure that areas that are identified around the weaknesses around intergovernmental planning, using the district development model, how do we ensure that these gaps are bridged? Thank you. Can we probably then, if there are no, I see Honorable Khai has also raised his hand. Honorable Khai, the floor is yours.
I just want to give it a try, Chair, if I don't get disconnected. I'm not going to switch on my video, so it may also contribute in my disconnection. I just want to check with regard to if international travel is allowed. Are there any countries that have been, say, red flagged by WTO, if I can get a response to that, or is it just open, any country can visit any other country without any restrictions? The other question that is both to the department and the TBCSA on the issue of loan guarantee scheme. There's this 200 billion, which is called loan or credit guarantee scheme. And banks have been very slow in dispensing this 200 billion. The last time I checked, I think it was under 50 billion that has already been allocated. But also there's a complaint that Black people are not able to access that credit or those loans because of a very stringent criteria that banks are putting in place. So my question is therefore, what is the department doing, and also what is the TBSA doing to assist small businesses, particularly Black businesses, to access those loans, and also to interact with the banks for those restrictions to be eased, because also government is guaranteeing in case the businesses are unable to pay, then government will come in. So therefore, there's no much risk on the part of the banks when it comes to giving these loans or credits to the small businesses. So I want, therefore, their responses on that particular issue. KZN is inviting us, Honorable Nomusa Dube Ncube is inviting us. Usually around January, December, there are huge numbers in the beach of KZN. I'm just checking whether there aren't any measures that will be taken to ensure that we don't find ourselves in a situation where there's a surge with regard to coronavirus, people get infected because of those huge numbers that will be flocking Durban beaches during that period. The last point to Mpumalanga, if they can share the recovery plan with the committee, but also the role that the government will be playing in funding the recovery plan. Because I see that today is still going to fundraise to ensure that that plan is implemented. But I want to check what role that the government will be playing with regard to funding that plan. Thanks very much, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Honorable Khai. I will. I see some hands, but I want to believe that these are the hands that were attended to. If you can just probably request the team to lower those two hands of Honorable Ting and also Honorable Dango, so that I am not confused. Let's open the floor for response. We can start. Let's start with the let me see, Mpumalanga.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Yes. The floor is yours.
Yes. What was directed to the province specifically was the issue of Kruger National Park, but it was coupled with national to what ourselves or national because of the expensive Kruger National Park is. So according to us, Kruger National Park continues to be a national asset. But since it's in Mpumalanga, from time to time we sit with them and we engage with them because of what Honorable Boshoff has raised. And we feel the same, and we continuously engage with them, and the concerns which we are getting from the locals is the same, and we send all those information, and we want to believe, since it has been raised at this platform today, it makes our concerns which were raised locally to be worth it to send to national department. I think we share the same setting. The issue of the sphere of the three spheres of government, as to Mrs. Boshoff, Honorable Boshoff has indicated that other attraction like your Tabashweu municipality has played the river canyon, which it's a tourism attraction. What are we doing to make sure that the infrastructure of that particular municipality is... Am I still audible?
You are audible.
We are working very close, as I've indicated even in my presentation, that the LTOs and RTOs in our province, all of them are very active, and we identify all these attractions, working hand in glove with municipalities via these LTOs, and encourage them that they must prioritize, because I have had one honorable member indicating that if these structures are not active, not working, other municipalities are not even budgeting for tourism. So I think in our case, we are making sure that all municipalities, all regional structures, they prioritize working hand in glove with our entity of tourism to make sure that tourism is prioritized. Lastly, the recovery plan is going to be shared with the committee, and the role which, because the chairperson indicated that what will be the role of government, and the role of government is going to be, because government has, executive council has agreed that this is the right recovery plan, and we are going to take it to budget and finance and get exactly how much are they going to give us. But definitely, executive council has approved it. Thank you.
MEC, there's another question on the chat group from Honorable Boshoff.
From Honorable Boshoff to the MEC of Mpumalanga, the report that was sent to us on what has been done in the province since the inception of COVID-19, may I ask why no mention has been made with reference to the empowerment of women within the tourism industry?
Can you repeat the question?
The report that was sent to the committee in terms of the presentation on what has been done in the province since the inception of COVID-19, the question is, may I ask why no mention has been made with reference to the empowerment of women within the tourism industry?
No, thank you for mentioning that. The empowerment of women and youth is our priority, and we can share our experience as to how did we empower women and youth, since in the tourism, those are our priority, and we have done a lot on the empowerment of women and youth. Thank you.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, MEC. Can we then move to MEC Namusa Dube? The floor is yours.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you to the honourable members for those questions. To honourable member, with regard to the problems of the severe infrastructure in the municipalities, yes, it is very true that there is a challenge of the infrastructure problems in municipality, in particular in the south. When we were there in the south, we did engage with the municipality with regard to this problem, and we did ascertain that the municipality indeed, during the COVID-19, they have tried to boost their water storage capacity. And we've then impressed upon the municipality to ensure that the storage capacity, we use it in particular for our tourism infrastructure support, as tourism infrastructure support in particular, so that that would also assist us in that regard. So we will be monitoring that, but also we will be supporting the municipality in that regard. But also there has been a program that has been championed by the Honourable Premier that has been dealing with the issues of water challenges in municipality, Renkonyeni and Ugu municipality being one of those municipalities that is being supported in dealing with the severe infrastructure challenges. Challenges there being some of the inherent challenges in that they arise as a result of the way the water infrastructure was built vis-a-vis the water levels and the catchments and the rivers as well as the sea levels, and that gets issues complicated there. But I know that we have been working with the municipality in, of Ugu in dealing with that, and we will continue to support the municipality in dealing with that problem. We had actually quantified the short-term, medium-term, and the long-term solution to that problem, including but not limited to issues of borrowing one of the water, a portable water desalination plant to be stationed in that a place that is usually a problem that gives us a problem that causes the clogging of that water pipe that causes a problem all the time that is as a result of a problem in Renkonyeni in particular. But the problems are known and they are indeed being dealt with as we talk. But for tourism in particular, we have asked that perhaps we do need to look at our storage capacity, and if we need, if need be,